listening to Get Sports Radio.
Info Podcast, episode number 16, our 2017 NFC East Primer. I'm Dan Klaskins, back with you. Happy to be with you. Cruising right along. Can't believe it's already the 16th episode. Relaunching the podcast here this offseason, and now just less than 4 weeks away from the full first Sunday slate of the season. I'm coming to you here on Monday, August the 14th. Thinking about Monday night, 4 weeks from tonight, that big Monday night doubleheader to kick off the season. Fantasy drafts abound, and we're knee-deep in the conversation. We always are here on the podcast, the Get Sports Info Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can listen on Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well. You can find it at GetSportsInfo.com. It's where the podcast lives, along with the blog. We got our GSI cheat sheet up there, rankings by my guy James Rapine, studs and duds. Plenty more great content. Check it out right now. I'm also at that site. You can find out I'm for hire. That's right. I'm operating a premium email service this season. I've been doing it for 15 years for free, and quite frankly, just don't have the bandwidth anymore. But I really do enjoy engaging, and for those of you willing to spend less than a buck a week, I'll be your assistant coach this season. Go to email advice under fantasy football right there, or on my Twitter account at Dan Klaskins. Of course, you follow us there. You can follow the Get Sports Info Podcast. And I'm also creating the mock draft army right now. We're popping out one or two of them a week all the way through August, at least till it gets to the later part. And then I'll have real drafts every night. A few more opportunities to get in. Please email me, getsportsinfo@gmail.com, or DM me on Twitter. No fantasy questions on DM on Twitter. I will communicate with you that way, though. So please, if you want in, send me your name and your email. I'll put you on the email list when I send out invites each week over the next couple weeks. Been busy cranking out articles, all my articles and rankings exclusively now at Pro Football Focus. And some of my recent work includes a list of 16 AFC deep sleepers. I've got one for each team. Tomorrow, my NFC version comes out. That's part of the PFF Edge package. Most consistent quarterbacks, did something there. I'm going to share a little bit about Eli Manning as we get into the NFC East here in a bit. Pretty interesting trends, though. You see the guys that produce and don't produce. It's the beginning of a four-part series there. And just wrapped up my four-part series on a list of upside tight ends. See who makes the list at every ADP, the guys with upside at that position. Check it all out. Pro Football Focus, the PFF Edge and Elite Package. If you want to buy that package through my landing page, through my deal at Get Sports Info, you have to click on the link there and do so. I'll give you the email coach for free. So that's me answering your questions guaranteed all season, helping you set those lineups, DFS. I'll give you my takes there as well. Check it out, GetSportsInfo.com, and I'm ready, man. I'm getting ready for our Dream League auction. It's one of my favorite leagues I play in, Dynasty Setup. We have that this weekend, the KFFSC in Cincinnati, Sunday, packed. Happy to have a bunch of you guys out there with us on that. But if you didn't get in that, there's still a chance you can sign up for the Louisville event or an online main event, the KFFSC.com, where you go to do that. A lot of drafts coming up, in some mocks now, some interesting takeaways, but what we're really here to talk about is getting you ready. What are you doing to get your stuff ready, man? I mean, obviously the research, but with your league's draft, are you having it somewhere? Are you the commissioner of your league? Now is the time, and I'll tell you, you just got to try to enjoy it, because sometimes it does get a little stressful when you're planning the event, you're busy with these things, but dude, you only draft one day a year, so let's take advantage of it, enjoy it while it lasts, and be sure to check out some of the Fantasy 101 tips we've got listed just for you at GetSportsInfo.com on that regard. Let's jump into it now. NFC East preview. There has been a flurry of moves since I last checked in on the podcast, headlined by the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games for violating the league's domestic violence policy. And here is a situation where, once again, we have an elite fantasy player entering a season, had to weigh in the suspension. I know last year it worked out. Lev Bell, 3 games, came back and was a big factor, especially in high-stakes leagues or where you have the bigger pots. You sort of take the swing at the fences, and that's the case with Ezekiel Elliott. But the big difference is it's a 6-game suspension. Also, there are still lingering investigations, according to some reports, that there could be more still being investigated. And if he gets in trouble, there's a lot to it. Now, don't kid yourself. I'm a high roll type player myself. I'll roll the dice and take my chances. I'm the type of guy that will take a chance in riding Ezekiel out. If you're in a 12-team league, it's quite simple. If six teams make your playoffs, I mean, you pretty much only got to go 500 those first 12 weeks. It's what happens at the end of the season. If you're one of these high-stakes leagues, it's what happens in weeks 14, 15, 16. When the money's on the line in December is when you need Ezekiel Elliott on the football field. If you want him, I think you're going to have to pay a second-round pick, maybe even earlier in some cases. If he sneaks to you in round three, that's bargain city. I would definitely go that route, but I'm not necessarily targeting that route. And that's where I'm going to differ from some. Some are just going to do it, and that's what they want to get in the middle or end of round two, and that's fine. I'm playing the board. If there's some players I like there, and I'm not reaching for a guy at that spot, and let's be honest, at the end of second round, early third round, I sort of get that reaching feeling anyway. Well, then I'm going to take my guy. But if he's not there, I'll reach for Ezekiel Elliott, and I'll do it at this price. With him out for those six games, what can we expect from Dak Prescott? How do we see him fitting into the mix? And that's a very interesting thing, because will this team, something he didn't have to do as a rookie, is really carry this football team? Sure, Darren McFadden's going to slide in. We know Ronnie Hillman and Alfred Morris are on the roster, but I don't care about those guys. McFadden, he's worth a spot. I'll take him as a bench running back. I don't think you need him necessarily if you have Ezekiel Elliott, and I don't think you target him without him. I'm certainly not moving him up a couple spots. His ADP is on the rise, and the numbers are hard to get a read on completely at this point, but Darren McFadden doesn't excite me. I mean, he'll be an RB2 at best, probably more of a flex option for 6 weeks, and then if all things go well, he'll return to fantasy relevance. So let's not spend too large of a pick on him. I'd rather go after another team's running back that can give me that production for the whole season. Back to the Dak Prescott question. I'm looking at my rankings right now, and they're evolving daily, so this could change by time you listen. But right now, I got him slotted in as more of a QB13. I haven't moved it since the Elliott suspension. I thought about it, and I'm definitely going to be adjusting some things around him. But I still think that he's a guy that gets a slight uptick here. I think they have to throw him the football. He's going to have to do a little bit more, at least for that first half of the season potentially. And that's where I'm sort of enamored in him. But there's a lot of quarterbacks at that spot. I mean, you're talking double-digit rounds. Just another reason to potentially try out the wait on quarterback approach in more leagues than you don't this year. The guy's throwing the football. I mean, I really don't care about anybody on the roster outside of Dez Bryant. And is he still capable of being elite? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves with Dez, because it's been a little brittle. It's been a little rough. But, you know, I'm looking at a guy here that is still pretty young. I mean, his overall production has been down the last couple years. There is no doubt. And inside the 10-yard line in particular is where I get alarmed here. I mean, only 3 of 16 passes has he caught in there. And I think that's going to change a little bit. I see a bounce back here. And it looked as the season went down there at the end that Prescott was a little bit more willing to make some of the throws he wasn't earlier in the year. And Dez was getting healthier. So you can't hide the fact. He's caught 41 of the team's 99 touchdown passes from 2012 to 14. And I think he's the guy and really the only guy that's capable of doing that. Now, going back to my question, is he still capable of being elite? His days where I am coveting him as a wide receiver one on my fantasy team are over. He currently slides in that spot in my rankings, but if I was being honest, and as a fantasy owner in more PPR formats that I play in, little receiver heavy, I'm liking Dez more if I can get him as my wide receiver two, more so than my wide receiver one, and I'm not necessarily targeting, but I think he could be top 15 if he stays healthy, and he's got top 5 upside if it all goes right. I'm just not holding my breath for it. Let's move along in the division, because there's so much in this division I enjoy talking about. And I'll tell you, one of the guys I really enjoy talking about, and I'm going to enjoy grabbing him on a bunch of my teams here in the next couple weeks too, and that's Kirk Cousins. And I love the ADP. Cousins is coming in at the right price. It's rising a little bit. I think he's getting his due justice, and rightfully so, because pretty much since Jay Gruden's taken over the reigns here in D.C., the Redskins have been a top 5 passing offense, and Cousins has been at the center of it. Now, I know he lost some players and targets with DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, but they've done more than enough to bring in Terrell Pryor. I think Jordan Reed's still there. Jamison Crowder is going to be a bigger part of things this year. And honestly, I think Terrell Pryor will slide in there. Pryor's going a little steep for me. I've been, you know, looking at some of his latest ADP. I liked him a little bit better in May when he was a couple rounds cheaper, but you're paying the price on him. I'm not saying he won't deliver, but to be clear, I've got Terrell Pryor still on the near the 20 spot in my rankings, not the top of that. So he's more of a back end wide receiver too to me. And I think his price is just starting to get to where there's not a lot of room for value. Now, looking at the rest of the weapons on this Redskins team, how will the targets be distributed? I mean, Jordan Reed, we all know the story there. The guy's got to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, and he's even dealing with the toe issue right now, which guess what? That's causing his stock to fall a little bit. I actually got him down in round 5 of drafts right now, is what the latest ADP is showing me from Fantasy Football Calculator. You can get a great link to that right there at Get Sports Info on the links under Fantasy Football as well. But I'll tell you, I think indeed, when you look at Jordan Reed, he's like the NFC version of Gronk, is what you hear a lot of people say. And I think it's overused, but it's good. He still finished last year. He was tight end 7, 686 yards on 66 catches, 6 touchdowns. Man, that's a lot of sixes. I mean, is anybody else superstitious? Maybe that's why this guy's got issues. No, the real reason are there all these concussions. And you stretch him out over 16 games, he's averaged over 86 receptions per contest in his career. So if they can keep him on the field, what I'm finding myself doing is actually, now that he's fallen a little bit, and if it's a deeper league, like 18 or more man rosters, Reed's becoming that guy I'll take the value on, and then I'm actually handcuffing him, which is unheard of at the position. But it fits the bill with him and Gronk and some of these other high-powered offenses with tight end with durability questions. And I think with Jordan Reed, you get Vernon Davis there in round 14 when nobody's really looking at him, and maybe a third tight end because, you know, that's what it carries. But you have a difference maker when he's on the field, and that's what you're looking for in that part of the draft, really any part of the draft. And I love what he does inside the red zone. 14 to 20 targets, 10 touchdowns over the past couple seasons inside the 10. And I mean, that's what you look for in your tight end. And Jordan Reed, not going to be on a lot of my teams in shallower leagues because I don't want to bury all the roster spots on tight ends. And that's why, because I play in a lot of 16-team leagues or less on these redraft formats especially, Jordan Reed's not a guy I am invested in too frequently. But as that price drops, that could change as well. Moving along to the other parts of the division, of the Washington Redskins, as we continue our NFC East primer, is the final thought on the running back situation. Listen, I don't love Fat Rob. Rob Kelly is what he is, but what he does have is some sense of job security. Samaje Perine is a running back that's hyped up a little bit, but he's off to a slow start in camp. Didn't have the best debut. He's got a lot of upside. I think he's going to slowly be worked into the mix here. But this is a pass-first football team. Kelly's a proven effective at taking care of the football, pass blocking, and in the short yardage situations. And I think that, coupled with Chris Thompson's role as a passing down back, Perrine's a guy that, I don't know. I mean, I'll take him at some price, but I'm not paying what he was going for sure. And I think now he's slipping more in the 8th, 9th round range. He gets down in that 10th round range. He becomes more appealing to me for sure because he's a guy that could ascend as the season moves forward. Two teams down, two to go. Let's turn our attention now to the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a team that everybody's also a little talking about and hyped up with because they've been busy on the trade front. I'm telling you. I mean, I did not see it coming last Friday. We were all waiting on the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, but the Eagles actually were involved in one of two wide receiver trades involving the Buffalo Bills. In this instance, Jordan Matthews leaves Philadelphia. He is now a member of the Bills. More on that in a future podcast. What I want to talk about here is the ripple effect that it's having on this Phillies wide receiving core. First of all, Matthews was a target monster. He was the go-to guy in the slot. And Carson Wentz, I mean, it was his safety net, if you will. And the targets were there. Matthews, he was unimpressive to me. His home in Buffalo remains to be seen. But I'll tell you what I do like here. I think Torrey Smith is a hidden sleeper in this deal because now that deep threat who is basically been lost on an island in San Francisco, in the middle of fantasy no man's land, in that receiving core out there, he comes in, now in almost all two wide sets in this offense. He averages 17 yards per catch for his career. And I'm looking at him getting a lot more targets than I was probably expecting to. Now, let's not get silly. I mean, he's still a bench player at best. I like him a little bit more in best balls. But Alshon Jeffrey, obviously a guy they're going to sort of lean on. Nelson Aguilar, the former highly coveted pick there, that's been a bit of a disappointment. He's shined well in the offseason. I think that lent itself to the move. All of those guys are fine. I think Jeffrey is a guy that in the wake of this move maybe gets an uptick in the ranks. I haven't moved him a ton, honestly, at this point. I want to see him get a little under him still. He's still nursing a little bit of some nagging injuries, just now getting back into the flow a little bit. But I got him at wide receiver 15. I don't see him being more than a high-end wide receiver 2 on my board. So I think that's probably about the right spot there. The real guy that I am moving up big time, and I was backing off a little bit, but with Matthews gone and my next rankings update, he's probably going to rise to about 7 or 8 on my PPR board. And I'll be doing that rankings update at Pro Football Focus shortly after this podcast. But Zach Ertz is a player that is really the winner here, because he is just going to get all the action in the slot. I think he's been a guy that really has been undervalued for some time. We talked about my recent upside or bust tight ends, the tight end values at every upside guys at every ADP. I'm doing it at Pro Football Focus. And I talked about it from week 9 on last season. He led all players at the position in fantasy points with 154. Targets, 83. Receptions, 63. Tied for second in touchdowns with 4. And receiving yards with 666. And, I mean, I think Ertz is very capable of taking a step up this season, stretching out that type of performance across the full season. And coming at the beginning around 11 right now in PPR leagues, that's just ridiculous. So gobble him up. Wait on tight end all day in that format, and I think you'll come out on the good side. Carson Wentz, I do like him as a young quarterback. I think he is a guy that's also going to take a step up this year. I think over time he's a real deal. Dynasty leagues, I could see having him, but I don't see him cracking the top 15 at quarterback this year. Not if Philadelphia is doing what they want to do. And for that reason, he's a guy that's, you know, late round pick, but not one that I think has a huge ceiling for me as I look at my projections and rankings for 2017. Finally, let's take a look at the New York Giants, and certainly not a team that is thought of in last in anything. I mean, this has been a team that has been up and down through the years, but has found a little bit of stability, still looking for a running game, but some moves, indeed. Odell Beckham Jr. still among fantasy's best players. I've now, with Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension, firmly have Odell Beckham Jr. as my 4th overall player off the board in both standard and PPR formats. I feel comfortable making him a top 5 pick in any league. The guy scores touchdowns. Julio, some could argue he's a better player. He doesn't score the touchdowns for me. Antonio Brown's still a step ahead, but I'll take Odell Beckham at pick 4 and sleep like a baby. There's other guys in this receiving core, in this passing game. Brandon Marshall, I see him staying involved in touchdowns. Later in his career here, he's going to become more valuable, I think, in standard leagues and PPR leagues, where a few years ago it might have been just the opposite of that. I do think he is better left to be a wide receiver 3. And Sterling Shepard had the injury there at the beginning of camp, shaking it off. He's going to get it going this season. He'll have some weeks where he becomes relevant. Definitely a mid-round pick worth nabbing there as a bench player, if especially you can afford to wait a few weeks for him to, you know, get back and get fully caught up from the time he's missed here in August. I'm looking also at Evan Engram, the tight end. I don't really like rookie tight ends a lot. And in my NFC deep sleepers that I just did at Pro Football Focus, he was a player I highlighted because the 8 touchdowns, the 66 catches we saw last year playing at a high level in the SEC. And this is an offense I think that fits him. The scheme's right. The depth chart is in his favor. Rookie tight ends don't usually do a lot. This year's crop is very special. I think Engram is the best chance to do one if you're going to take a late round dart on any of the rookie tight ends, because I think he could become a factor in the red zone pretty quickly. He's really undersized to contribute in any other manner, so might be a little bit easier for him than a typical tight end entering the league that has to deal a lot more with the blocking schemes that Ingram, quite frankly, just won't be involved in because they have better options on the depth chart to do that. And so I'd like to leave it, the final take of the Giants in the passing game with quarterback Eli Manning. And, I mean, Eli is a guy that the potential's there for big things. We've seen it. We see it. We could see it again in weeks this season. I think it's real. But I'm a little concerned with Eli because the line is not great. He's been terribly inconsistent. And, you know, I think in six games of his 16 last year, he finished above average in weekly positional points at that position. And I don't know. I think there's just guys that, as my QB2 even, that I feel are better picks. I don't see Eli Manning getting much higher than the top 10. Some of these other guys you're taking there in that 12 to 16 range have probably a little bit higher of a ceiling. And therefore, I'm staying clear. Paul Perkins, the running situation, he's been less than impressive thus far in camp. And let's face it, the guy's an average talent at best. I've been sort of pegging him as an RB2, a low-end one, just off of what I expect to be that opportunity. But I've got to admit, he's going to drop in this next rankings update a spot or two because I'm just not as comfortable with it as we get on here to the second week. That now we're hearing talks about Shane Vereen getting more involved. I mean, lucky for Perkins, and this is why I was already zealous on the issue, was, I mean, there's nothing behind him, right? I mean, Shane Vereen, we know what Orleans Darkwaw is, and Wayne Gallman. I mean, come on. He's been just as unimpressive. So this is a team that has little in the running game. Perkins, I'll take him at some point, but I think I was a little bit ahead of a lot of people on him, and I think I'm sort of moving my way back to the masses as I get deeper into draft season here. So that's all my takes for the NFC East. We've been plowing through our podcast. I'm trying to do one or two a week from now through January. My goal is to get through a couple more of these divisional primers, and we will then turn our attention to week one and getting you ready for your upcoming fantasy football season. As a reminder, I'd love to be your coach. Check out my email advice package at GetSportsInfo. You can get some great deals. You get it for free when you buy PFF Edge or Elite on my site at GetSportsInfo. You can see all that and all the great links under fantasy. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Just search the Get Sports Info podcast. And of course, always hit me up on Twitter. I love talking smack. I hope you enjoy your leagues. Join the Mock Draft Army. Send me that email, getsportsinfo@gmail.com. And we always appreciate your reviews on any of our podcast pages. Until next time around, when we'll dive into another AFC division, I'm Dan Klaskins. Thanks for listening again to the Get Sports Info podcast.